The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do this. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on James, J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about the chosen amplified and where will you spend eternity, part 8. Overview of the broadcast. If you've not yet watched the TV drama The Chosen, which is all about the life of Yahshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus, and his 12 followers, incorrectly disciples, that he chose, I recommend it. Having said that, there are some important details about Yahshua that have been missed, and to that end, I'm writing this article to amplify those key things that I consider important to know about Yahshua. We'll then look at the role of the Spirit that became Yahshua in creation. We will discuss details of the conception and birth of Yahshua through a virgin. We will look at the immersion of Yahshua by Yehuchanan, the immerser, John the Baptist, with Yah speaking and commending Yahshua and the Spirit of Yah coming upon Yahshua. We'll then discuss Yahshua spending 40 days in the wilderness fasting and contending with Satan. We will then look at the next part. We will then look at the next part of where will you spend eternity. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this broadcast is based on the article 2024-0207, The Chosen Amplified. If you've not yet watched the TV drama The Chosen, which is all about the life of Yahshua and the 12 disciples, followers that he chose, I recommend it. Having said that, there are some important details about Yahshua that have been missed, and to that end, I'm delivering this broadcast to amplify those things that I consider important to know about Yahshua. The series has become quite a phenomenon, so you may well have heard of it and quite possibly watched it. So far, there have been 3 seasons, each of 8 episodes. Season 4 has just started in movie cinemas. The past episodes are available on YouTube. Just search for The Chosen Season 1. The remaining episodes follow. There's also an app if you're watching on your phone, and it's more convenient than using YouTube on your phone. Go to the Play Store on an Android phone or the App Store on Apple and type in The Chosen. And the app should be displayed to download. It's free of charge. So let's look at some amplification. Sadly, there are some items that I regard as absolutely critical to understanding Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, that are missed. Number one, the role of the Spirit that became Yeshua in creation. Number two, the details of the conception and birth of Yeshua through a virgin. Number three, the immersion of Yeshua by Yehuchanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, with Yah speaking and commending Yeshua and the Spirit of Yah coming upon Yeshua. Yeshua spending 40 days in the wilderness fasting and contesting with Satan. This is discussed in more detail now. Fifthly, the role of Yah is largely downplayed to the point of being ignored. Sixth, the program is all done in the names God, Jesus, etc. And seven, what I've called artistic license. So let's look at the role of the Spirit that became Yeshua in creation. In understanding Yeshua, it is important to understand that the Spirit being that was imparted to the human embryo that became the man Yeshua was the spirit of the first spirit being created by Yah. This being was Yah's assistant, effectively chief operating officer, throughout the process of creation. So he came to earth with deep knowledge of what was going on and the nature of the contest and the day-to-day spiritual battles on earth. He also had a deep knowledge of the errors he would encounter, as well as a deep knowledge of how he would die. He had watched numerous offenders executed at Golgotha. Refer to the article 2020-1001, The Miraculous Planning of the Death of Yeshua, which is on the main menu on the website for more information about Yeshua. The knowledge and experience that he had meant that from the moment of birth, Yeshua had an authoritative view of what was happening around him, and so he went into his ministry with a very authoritative posture, which is not presented in The Chosen. Folks, this is really, really important. There is a brief reference in the Good News, the Gospel of Yehuchanan John, to Yeshua being with Yah at the beginning. It's very obscure. And there are one or two other teasers to the same effect. The fact is that Yeshua was actively involved in every facet of the process of creating the universe, creating our solar system, creating our planet Earth, creating the plants, creating the animals, and creating human beings. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew about all the error and deception and wrong thinking of the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests. He knew about Roman justice. He knew that it was Roman practice to take offenders out of the city of Jerusalem, nail them to a stake, not a cross, a stake. Cross is a meaningless, incorrect translation. If you look in any good concordance, you will find that the word translated cross is in fact the word stake. Staru in Greek. And so he came to earth with his eyes open and knowing full well what was going to happen. He worked and collaborated with Yah to plan what would happen, down to the last detail. He came with a couple of objectives. Number one, live a life without sin. Number two, draw people back to Yah, and particularly make a way for a new impartation of the Spirit of Yah to individual believers who were not of the priestly and Levitical line. Number three, to provoke and irritate and annoy the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees to such a point that they would eventually call for his death. And number four, to die without sinning and so qualify for the highest throne in heaven next to Yah, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. This is so important to understand. The Chosen does not present Yeshua as the authoritative man that I believe that he was. He becomes more authoritative towards the end of season three, but as I have it, he was authoritative right from day zero. In the details of the conception and birth of Yeshua through a virgin, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 2, verse 7 in the Bible, is presented in Appendix A of the article, The Chosen Amplified, on the website. And the text is taken from the ETI version, from the ETI version page on the website. This sets out in detail a number of events foreshadowed in the historical writings and foretellings leading up to the birth of Yeshua the man. This knowledge is again vital to understanding the role of Yehuchanan, John, Yehuchanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, and Yeshua, both of whom were foreshadowed. Sadly, this is not covered in The Chosen, although there are a few oblique references to the virgin birth, albeit with strong reference to Yeshua's earthly adoptive father. Again, critical to understand. Yahushua came on the basis of something that was planned at the very least hundreds of years previously, and which was set up through a number of the great emissaries, prophets, hundreds of years beforehand, so that people, the intercessors, could pray it into existence. If you don't understand that Yahushua was born of a virgin and therefore free of bloodline curses, you again underestimate who he was and his power and his authority. Number three, the immersion of Yahushua by Yehuchanan, the Immerser, with Yah speaking and commending Yahushua and the Spirit of Yah coming upon Yahushua. In the article, I quote Matiyahu, Matthew chapter 3, verses 15 to 23, again from the ETI version. Note in particular, verses 21 to 23. Now when all the people were immersed, it came to pass that Yahushua also being immersed and praying, the heaven was opened. And the set-apart spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Yahushua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Couple of key points here. Number one, Yehuchanan the Immerser came with strong authority. He was of the priestly line, so he was a descendant of Aaron. His father was a priest. He came again in authority, and to some extent, the Chosen parodies Yehuchanan as a bit of an eccentric, sort of cheeky sort of little guy. Well, that's the way I experienced it. Again, I infer from his bloodline and his upbringing that he spoke very authoritative. He knew Yah had sent him to immerse. And then when Yeshua was immersed, the heaven was opened and the set-apart spirit of Yah, this part of Yah's spirit that is given to a believer, was imparted visibly on Yeshua. And Yah spoke in the hearing of at least perhaps a few hundred, possibly even more people. So there was no question in terms of the message that got broadcast around that area that Yah had spoken about this man. Again, there's nothing in the Chosen that exemplifies this. In addition to that, Yehuchanan said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yah." So Yehuchanan laid the foundation for the death of Yeshua on the stake 3.5 years later as the offering, the sacrifice of the Lamb of Yah, which was the legal basis whereby he fulfilled the Passover, the Pesach sacrifice offering, such that he became the offering for sin, such that he became the offering for atonement, such that he qualified to become high priest, such that he qualified to become advocate, and so on and so forth. Again, I refer you to the article, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death. And then it's important to note that he was 30 years old when he started his ministry. Again, he started out with power, and that power is not evident in the early part of the Chosen. It's vital to understand that Yeshua was immersed. This was a necessary precursor to him entering into full-time ministry. He had to have the Spirit on him. He had to be immersed to cleanse him as a symbolic act to comply with Mosaic law, Torah, whatever you want to call it, that the Spirit of Yah descended on him and anointed him. Until that point, Yeshua was an ordinary man with no anointing. From that point, he was filled with the Spirit of Yah, whereby he was subsequently able to perform miracles and speak on behalf of Yah. See the article 2024-0204, Experiencing the Anointing. How does it manifest on the website? This anointing will have resulted in Yeshua immediately starting to speak with authority, speaking from personal experience. When the Spirit of Yah comes on you powerfully and you're anointed, Yah starts to give you utterance and you speak authoritatively and you say things that you didn't know. So given that Yeshua knew a hang of a lot more than I ever did, I speak with conviction that Yeshua spoke with authority, very much so, from the point at which he was anointed. It's vital to understand that it was this anointing that Yeshua empowered Yeshua to perform the miracles he performed. It was the Spirit of Yah in and on Yeshua that performed the miracles, not Yeshua the man. Then point C, Yah spoke in front of an audience to acknowledge Yeshua as his son. So there was a significant audience that understood the standing of Yeshua with Yah. These three events are vital to understanding Yeshua and how he was equipped to minister. Sadly, the Chosen only mentions the immersion of Yeshua very briefly, with none of the other details that are covered above. Then point number four, Yeshua spending 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and contending with Satan. In the article on the website, it quotes Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 14, again from the ETI version. Note particularly the following verses, verses 1 and 2. And Yeshua, being full of the set-apart spirit, please note that, full of the set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. A 40-day fast is prerequisite to power ministry. Without being filled with the spirit of Yah and fasting for 40 days, Yahshua would not have been able to enter into power ministry. And verse 13, and when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season. There's nothing in the Chosen about anything that I've just said to you. Back in 2010, I met a lady who was a powerful emissary, apostle, prophetess, who had raised 19 people from the dead. She advocated and had herself executed a 40-day fast to come into power ministry. In fact, she'd done two, if not three, 40-day fasts, and some of those who followed her had done 40-day fasts. On the strength of that, she had raised 19 people from the dead. She had delivered the witch, the head witch of France. She had spoken authoritatively to many leaders, both in secular government and in the ministry. She was a powerful force, filled with the spirit of Yah. She only slept 2 or 3 hours a night. She spoke to Yah continually. If she misplaced something in her house, she asked Yah where it was, and he told her where it was. She had even translated. She had been delayed 2 hours for a meeting that she was to address, some 2 hours' drive from where she was. She left where she was, phoned ahead to say that she was running late. Moments after that, a mist descended on the road, and the next thing that happened, she and her car appeared at the venue. So she got there on time, even though she left 2 hours late. Now, I want to say to you folks, that is the power of the Spirit of Yah on any human being. It's available to you, it's available to me, but it needs at least a 40-day fast. Yeshua went on a 40-day fast so he could do those things, so that he could walk on water. If you don't understand that, you get the completely the wrong message about Yeshua, because you think he's God and he's doing it in his own strength. No, it's the Spirit of Yah upon him that did it. And then verse 14, Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. It is also vital to be aware that Yeshua was actively tempted by Satan and gained victory. Note also that the fame of Yeshua went out immediately. The Chosen totally overlooks all of this and presents Yeshua as diffident to start with, and his ministry is ramping up slowly. Not the case. He hit society hard. He came through the immersion and came out as a powerful servant of Yah, filled with the spirit of Yah, performing miracles. It's so important to understand that. Point number 5, the role of Yah is largely downplayed to the point of being ignored. The role of Yah as God is hardly mentioned, such that it is unlikely that viewers will come to relationship with Yah or even real awareness of Yah. Fundamentally, it is vital to understand that the miracles attributed to Yeshua were all performed by Yah operating through Yeshua. There's some mention of Yeshua going apart to pray, but it's very downplayed, and there are customary Jewish prayers to God, but that is all. Yah speaking out loud to bless Yeshua when he was immersed is missing. The impression is created that Yeshua is performing the miracles in his own power, as opposed to in the power of the Spirit of Yah upon him. This is tragic. This is a powerful movie that apparently is touching millions, but which is not doing anything to lead people to belief in Yah, let alone to relationship with Yah. So it is likely producing millions of followers that Yah refers to as believing unbelievers. people who at some level believe but have no relationship with Yah and who will therefore never enter heaven. Folks, the world is full of people who believe in Jesus but don't believe in Yah at a level of saying, Father Yah, I believe you exist. I commit my life to you. Touch me, lead me, guide me, help me to draw close to you. They may pray like that to Jesus, and the chosen does nothing to get them to pray the prayer that I've just shared with you, or anything that even vaguely approximates it. There are the movie becomes more powerful with the miracles that Yeshua delivers towards the third season, and I believe in the fourth season it's even more pronounced. But it doesn't lead people to Yah. And that is the sole reason. The name of Yeshua means Yah is salvation. Yah is the Savior, not Yeshua. Yeshua came to point people to Yah as the Savior. Yeshua came to make an easy way for people to come to salvation. The word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. There are a lot of people calling Jesus now Yeshua. Yeshua is a descriptive word which means salvation. It is not the name of a person. The related name of a person is Yahushua. In other words, Yah is Yeshua. Yah is salvation. It's so sad, folks. So many people think they're following Jesus when they need to be following Yah. In point number six, the program is all done in the names God, Jesus, etc., the Lord. There's no reference to Yah, there's no reference to Yeshua, there's no reference to the Almighty, etc. And since all grace for the use of God, Jesus, Christ, the Lord, has been withdrawn, again, this movie will not lead to new believers in Yah. God is the name of a pagan deity. Yah extended grace to the use of God, but he had to withdraw it in 2003 before Satan could be convicted of his sins against humanity and sent to the pit for 1,000 years. God, correctly translated, is the Almighty or Mighty One, depending on context. There's more than one variant of Elohim, the Hebrew, that translates correctly as the Almighty or Mighty One. The Lord, correctly translated in Hebrew, is Baal, another pagan demonic deity. The correct translating of the Hebrew, which is YAHWH, as Yahweh, is better than nothing. It's more accurately Yahweh, YAHOOEH, but accurately it is Yah, the eternally self-existing. To call him the Lord is an insult. Christ is a meaningless Christian word. It means anointed with the Spirit of Yah or the anointed one of Yah, depending on context. There are about four different Greek words, all of which are translated Christ. If you truly value your relationship with Yah, I implore you to use the correct names. Many years ago, Father Yah said to me, James, if you love me, you will call me by my true name. In other words, Yah, Y-A-H. Point number seven, artistic license. In The Chosen, there are many additions to what is in the Bible, and some items that I consider particularly important are overlooked, as I've just set out. There's a lot of backstory which is engaging and entertaining, but which is not in the Bible and which does not necessarily correlate with what I infer from reading the Bible as many times as I have, in addition to having just rendered the four books of Good News, the Gospels, for the ETI version, with correction of all the translation errors that I know of. There's a whole lot of human interest. But if you've not read the Bible or not read it thoroughly and comprehensively repeatedly, I'm talking about the so-called New Testament, I'm talking specifically about the part that's called the Gospels, Matthew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Yohanan, John. If you do not know those passages fairly intimately, you may well think that everything in The Chosen is out of the Bible. It's not. About 20% of what's in The Chosen correlates roughly with the Bible, and even then, to some extent, it is inaccurate. The way that, for example, Simon, is portrayed as a little bit of an eccentric, foolish character is not what I read in the Bible. I could go on. They've taken artistic license and given what they've done, that's acceptable, it's real, but they have downplayed Yah in the story, they have downplayed Yeshua in the story, and they have overplayed their hand in creative scripting. This is such a powerful set of videos. They are entertaining. They are engaging. I've watched all of the first three seasons, and I really enjoyed them at one level, barring the points that I've just raised with you. I encourage you, if you've watched The Chosen, take note of what I've said and watch it again. If you've not watched The Chosen, take note of what I've said and watch it. It's worth watching. If you do it within the context of a relationship with Yah and see in Yeshua his relationship with Yah and see implicitly, because it's not made explicit, how Yeshua led his 12 followers to deep relationship with Yah. There's much to be gained at that level if you go in with that mindset. If you just go in as here's a nice story about Jesus and you think it's all true and did Jesus really was like that, I'm sorry to have to say to you, you are going to be misled and sidetracked from what you could get out of the movie. But if you don't understand the power that Yeshua had, the authority that he had, you will miss the point. So in conclusion, the bottom line is that if one is a believer who's reasonably familiar with the Bible, particularly the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Yohanan, one will get benefit from The Chosen as I've done. But if one is an unbeliever, one may be challenged to seek relationship, but one is not offered any way to do this. This is sad. It's a powerful movie and a hugely missed opportunity. Notwithstanding the above caveats, The Chosen is a powerful series of videos that is well worth watching. Please feel free to email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James at endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, if you have questions or comments. Sadly, there is not even at the end of each session, of each episode, a 1 or 2 minute interlude to say, if you have been touched by this, pray as follows. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I now recognize that you exist. I know your power. I now recognize your power. I desire to be your servant. I desire to be your I desire for you to be my friend, And I choose now to invite you into my life, to fill me with your spirit, and to take my life and turn it around. Something along those lines. Doesn't have to be exactly those words. Pray whatever you feel led to pray. If you are listening to this and you have never prayed a prayer like that, or you've prayed it to Jesus, then I encourage you right now to pray that prayer. And if you're not ready to pray that prayer, watch The Chosen, and when you get to the end, pray that prayer, or at any point during the process. When you recognize that the miracles are being performed by Yah, not by Jesus, and Yah desires a deep personal relationship with you. So we've got a few minutes left, and I'm going to continue with the article 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on The Final Quest, the third edition, part 8. I'm continuing with some challenging passages from The Final Quest. There are many passages in The Final Quest that deliver hard and challenging messages about the way that we understand the ways of the Almighty. Readers are encouraged to read The Final Quest, particularly from part 4 onwards. It's preferable, however, to read the entire book. Numbers of the form 23.1 are page numbers and paragraph numbers on the page in the edition of The Final Quest referred to above. The scanned version of that copy is on the website. If you go to the ETI Bible page, The Final Quest is under there, because I hold that The Final Quest is of comparable importance to anything in the Bible. It's a modern vision about the end times, about what's going on the earth right now, about what judgment looks like. I saw a completely different picture after I read The Final Quest. I've read The Final Quest, I don't know, 10, 20 times. It's very informative. And that's why I'm in the process of rendering it to correct translation errors. And I encourage you to read the version that's on the website. I've done up to the end of part 2 in chapter 5. In all quotations, words like God and the Lord have been substituting, using the words that I understand to be more pleasing to the Almighty, in accordance with the same conventions used in this broadcast this far. The first part of The Final Quest refers to the battle. In one of the early visions, Joiner reports the commencement of a major battle between the forces of darkness and the servants of the Almighty. Joiner reports that there were many more Christians being used by the evil one than in the army of Yah. This is a really important observation in terms of the basic theme of this article, that where will you spend eternity? A large proportion of those who consider themselves to be believers, are not serving the Almighty at present. The problem was severe in 1995 when the vision was given. It has become considerably more severe since then. It's close to 30 years since Joiner received these visions. Part of what he saw is in the process of being fulfilled, but at a very embryonic state. The level of, and it's important to understand that in his vision of the war, the battle, the demonic forces are riding on believers, not just Christians, but Christians, Muslims, Jews, and other religions that have in any shape or form some sort of connection to the Creator. It's a disturbing picture, and important to realize that while there are billions of Christians, billions of Muslims, hundreds of thousands of maybe millions of Jews, very few of them are on Yah's mountain. Very few of them are climbing to get close to Yah. Most of them are in deep error, heavily demonized. Later in the visions, Joiner sees increasing numbers of people realizing they have been deceived and changing sides. This article that I'm presenting here is to assist people to do this, to change sides. I believe that what is in The Final Quest refers to a future state Currently, the level of error amongst almost all believers is increasing. When I was growing up, I was confirmed in the Anglican Church, the South African branch of the Church of England. I believed in God. There wasn't a lot of talk about Jesus. Today, if you go into most Christian churches, there's a lot of talk about Jesus and not a lot of talk about God. Joyner reports that the majority of the soldiers in the army of Yah were women and children. This is an important observation in terms of the body of believers at present. Many of the adult men who appear to be serving the Almighty are not doing so in a place of submission to the Almighty. If you're listening to this, and you are a man who thinks you're superior to women, a man who won't allow women to be educated, a man who won't allow women to play an active role in the commercial and social structure of their society, a man who forces women to wear headscarves and strange outfits and not to dress with the same latitude as the men, you have a major problem. When you die, you're going to find that there are something like 7 times more women than men in heaven, and you might end up under the authority of a woman to help you get your thinking right. I'm out of time. I'll continue with this next week. I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, check it out, because with no disrespect to you, I anticipate that your answers to my 5 questions is no, 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 and no. Because there are hardly any human beings on the planet who have the sort of relationship that I've just alluded to. It is there for you today. It might take you to couple of years of serious effort, serious fasting and prayer to get to the point where you can answer yes to at least most of my questions, maybe not all of them. It might take you more than 2 years to get to a place where you can say that He's called you His friend, if you ever get there, which means you need to be serious about getting there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. With regard to becoming a friend of the Creator, it is there to every human being on the planet. The stuff about you've got to be of this chosen race or that chosen group or this or what, it's gone, folks. They messed up. The rules have changed because the people didn't work by the rules. We live in a world where there have been successive revelations of Yah, where different things have been tried, and they have all failed. failed. There is hardly anybody on the planet today who really has a close relationship with Yah. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, tall or short, fat or thin, educated or uneducated, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, African, Asian, Malaysian, European, Caucasian, whatever. It doesn't matter. He wants to be your friend. It doesn't matter if you're a witch or a warlock or a Satanist. He wants to be your friend. You can come to him today and say, Father Yah, I want to be your friend. Help me to get there. Folks, I'm out of time. Thank you so much. If this is your first time, I'm going to carry on and give a bit more information. If you've been listening for a while, you can knock off now. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you again next week. Good night. So thank you for staying on, those of you who are here for the first time or the first few times. A few points in closing. Who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. That's on the website. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is at the ETI Bible version. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are on Google. Search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes, and also the transcripts of the broadcasts, and the broadcasts are available on the transcripts of the broadcast page near the top of the website. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 as PDFs are available on the Books for Printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. I'm out of time. Thanks so much, folks. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me. I know your favor.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. The Chosen is a powerful movie, but has left out some critical information about Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. In particular, the specific events that equipped him for his ministry. If you've watched The Chosen and been touched by it, or if you are thinking of watching The Chosen, you need to listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or Talk4, that's the number 4TV.com. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much.